You are now listening to Talking Transparency, a podcast where trans parents talk transparently, hosted by Cody Connor, Melissa Lukson, and Thea Ross.
She is, Jasmine Crockett is a Democrat out of Texas, and she's amazing. And she was calling out an anti-LGBTQ organization at a House Oversight Committee hearing, because apparently the House decided to have a hearing about Title IX with regard to transgender sports. Listen, we barely got our budget signed off. We haven't gotten any funding approved for Ukraine. And these people are wasting time talking about trans athletes having House oversight committees. A complete waste of our tax dollars. But I digress. Ms. Jasmine Crockett, she got Marjorie Taylor Greene so mad that she tried to have Crockett's words stricken from the record. And when it didn't work, she went to social media to complain. And just so everybody's aware, the hearing was entitled The Importance of Protecting Female Athletics in Title IX. And also, let me just say right here, Cody, I'll give you a chance here in a minute too. But I just am, this is something that really is, it incenses me. Nobody cares about women and athletes. Nobody cares about, really, like in our government, they don't care about women in general. They certainly have never cared about women's sports. And here they are doing this, labeling it the importance of protecting female. Talk about the patriarchy using the word protecting, because, you know, women have to be protected. It was led by, of course, you know, several of these activists, anti-LGBTQ activists. It says that it was they had Riley Gaines Barker, who has turned tying for fifth place in a college swim meet into a career in right wing punditry, which is exactly what they've done with so many young people. They're not sending their best. And Cheryl Parshall Perry of the far right think tank Heritage Foundation. Heritage has written bills for state Republicans. I mean, if you're not aware, they've done, you know, they're the ones in charge of Project 2025. They're the ones who've done all the legislative stuff over pretty much every single president since I want to say Nixon. The Heritage Foundation has done a four-year strategy plan, and they hand it over to every president. And people like Nixon, as example, implemented like two-thirds of the Heritage Foundation's policies through his presidency. Reagan, excuse me. It was either Nixon or Reagan. I'll get back to you on that one. So they have written these bills for Republicans to file banning gender-affirming care for trans youth, and claims that legalizing same-sex marriage, quote, puts a giant target on the backs of people of faith. So then Marjorie Taylor Greene decides to I'm just going to quote her. She gets upset and she says, Ms. Perry. Let's see. Hold on. That's Ms. Crockett. Hold on. Let me get my people right here. So Ms. Crockett says, Jasmine Crockett, she's a Democrat out of Texas, a congresswoman. She says, Ms. Perry, I know your organization, the Heritage Foundation, loves Texas. Oh, they love Texas. They always sending us some nonsense bills that somehow set this country on the wrong trajectory. They send them to Texas. They send them to Florida, Crockett riffed at the hearing. Every deplorable state that we can think about, they usually come out of y'all's think tanks. And Ms. Crockett is not wrong. The Heritage Foundation really does write the majority of these awful bills. And then they just get copycatted to all the conservative right-wing states. So they just change the state and change a few things in the language. And then it's cookie cutter. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene said, point of order. And they got to do those Robert's rules. I move to strike her words, deplorable states. That's not a point of order, the chair responded. Let the gentle lady proceed. So essentially, then Miss Green gets upset and says, Jasmine Crockett just did her best Hillary Clinton impersonation and insulted half of the country by calling red states deplorable states. Green seethed on X, Twitter. She thinks if you disagree with her radical transsexual agenda, you are deplorable. The radical agenda in this case is letting trans kids have equal access to sports education in school. Talk to me.
Radical agenda.
It's
so, first of all, I really hate that there's this argument that it's trans women that are going to destroy women's sports, not toxic patriarchy culture. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, correct. And can we talk about the fact that it's only trans women?
Oh, yeah. Nobody's worried
talking about trans men.
About trans men in sports, mm-hmm. You know, because well, you know, why?
Well,
sexism.
Well, sexism. Yeah, sexism. I mean, yeah.
A lot of transphobia, in my view, is latent sexism expressed inarticulately with a dash of homophobia.
Well, yeah. Right. So what I say about transphobia is that it's rooted in misogyny. Mm-hmm. Because people who are transphobic do not consider anything with regard to gender identity. And it is rooted in misogyny because from their viewpoint and their lens, why would a man ever want to be a woman?
Oh, right. Gosh. It's one of the things that pisses off men more than anything. The idea that you turned yes. down, the idea that you cut off, the idea that you denied manhood. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is so offensive to some men.
I've gotten that insult in my comment section before, especially mm-hmm. on videos where I'm expressing my nurturing side. Oh, you're such a woman. Was that an insult? Is that right. What that was supposed to be? An insult?
Right. So it's that is what it is rooted in. And so that's why we only hear from these manufactured outrage farmers, we only hear about trans women. We don't ever hear about, we hear about trans women in sports. We hear about let me rephrase. We hear about protecting girls and women in bathrooms, protecting women's and girls' sports. I think what we should really consider that men are the problem.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing too is you hear about, you know, there's this concept that they're going to steal mm-hmm. opportunities. Mm-hmm. I looked, I Googled, I tried really hard to find one trans athlete that got a college scholarship.
No.
Oh yeah. I'm just over here just doing the intramuscular injections every week, you know, just all because I mm-hmm. just am trying to get that tiny little edge in my competitive sport. Well, and the thing is I feel like some people do that with human growth hormones. So they just see this like analogy, but it's like, are you serious? There's a cis man alive who's going to do that.
No. Well, the ignorance, they're so low information
that's a
trans
too. Woman, I'm sorry.
Well, they're very low information too. You can tell that they don't utilize any critical thinking skills because a modicum of research about athletes will tell you that there are very strict requirements for how long you can be on hormone replacement therapy before you can participate in sports of your gender, right?
As a matter of fact, did you hear about this new thing the Daily Wire did, that Lady Ballers movie?
I was going to bring that up, the Lady Ballers.
I was watching an interview with Ben Shapiro, and Shapiro was like, I think the original idea, they were going to get Crowder and some of those just deplorables, we'll use the word. They were going to get those folks, and the idea was they were going to legitimately do some sort of documentary where they went around and like signed up and did this as trans women and insisted they were trans women because it's mm-hmm. all some big joke to them or something. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then they realized, you know, he just made this like off the hand. You just kept on going with it. It's like, we realized, you know, they wouldn't actually let us do that. There was rules to do that. But, you know, and it's because it's like, yes, obviously, like Ben mm-hmm. Shapiro admits that that's something that can't happen, that they couldn't do.
That they couldn't do.
And they still think that there's just like, that they're really funny, but they're really, you know, destroying the lives of, but you know, you talk about evidence, and this mm-hmm. is the thing that gets to me. It's you don't even need evidence. Logic should tell you, like, okay, when I was on testosterone, I did not have to work out. Like, mm-hmm. I could just bench press 120 pounds because mm-hmm. I had testosterone. I didn't, there's also the thing I didn't like about it, but it's like it was easy. After being years on estrogen therapy, I can tell you I cannot do that. I've lost 30 to 40% of my strength and also the muscle mass from my body. And if you think about it, it's like, okay, we've got like a muscle car or something, and you take out the engine and you put in the engine from like a Prius.
Right.
That car does not have an unfair advantage against, like if anything,
right.
Like, we, because it's a double-edged sword. It's either I'm taking these hormones and that's bad for my heart and that's mm-hmm. bad. But why is it bad for my heart? Well, the idea is that supposedly testosterone creates all this muscles, all this idea is that it's stronger for your physiology. Mm-hmm. Or it's the idea that because my bone structure, my body's so large and then has those things shrink as a consequence of the hormone therapy.
Correct.
So we acknowledge these things. Even though when they, mm-hmm. they throw the hate, they can't logically just think through the process of what they're saying mm-hmm. because you're really not talking about an unfair advantage. There's a reason why Leah Thompson came in fifth.
That's right.
Because that you suck. Miss Gaines.
I mean, she doesn't suck that bad because she's like, whatever. But this I mean, it's fine.
Would it beat me?
Right, totally would have been me, but for the record, I would just like to say that Ben Shapiro's wife's vagina is probably the driest on earth. But anyways, Ben Shapiro is ridiculous, and he just does self-owns all the time.
I hate it because he's a part of debate culture. He likes to be that debate bro. And as someone like who used to coach policy debate, I care about debate, and he makes a mockery of it.
He does make a mockery of it.
Like, mm-hmm. there's no good faith intention in him. There's no framework. There's no meeting of minds. It's just owning the libs.
Not owning the facts. I mean, no,
facts don't have your feelings or whatever. I'm sorry, fellow.
Yeah, no owning facts. Yeah, I did want to just read what their the reasoning behind this this congressional oversight whatever was the reason that they had this press conference about it. What in the House triangle was Congress must do everything it can to protect women's sports. The Biden administration's Title IX proposed rules redefine sex discrimination on the basis of gender identity. And they put quotes on gender identity as if putting quotes on it makes it not real. Putting at risk the safety, privacy, and opportunities for women in sports. Riley Gaines will testify at a subcommittee on healthcare and financial services hearing on Tuesday, December 5th at 2 p.m. titled The Importance of Protecting Female Athletes in Title IX. And I need to just say this right now. Like, one thing I noticed at a Virginia Beach School Board meeting recently, because of the talking about the trans model policies, is you can tell right-wing media's how much they've infiltrated their little, like, brain worms into these folks, because you see it not just – this is on – a formal press release about this gender identity, right? And one of the things I noticed, the school board is a couple of our MAGA, our Q moms, as I like to call them. They were questioning, they kept bringing up gender identity. And they kept saying, well, what is the actual, like, what is, you know, the definition or whatever. They kept focusing on not including gender identity in that language. So I feel like we just need to know where the mothership is and where all these people just go dock and like hook up to their right wing media little, you know, hose that just puts all this shit right in their brains and then they just spew it out. Like, I think it's in Arizona, but if anybody knows where the mothership is for the QA moms to get all their information downloaded, their bullshit information downloaded,
babe,
please,
you know,
let
Florida.
Me know.
You know it's Florida. Come on.
Listen,
now.
Arizona's a cesspool too. I mean, I'm sorry if you're living in Israel. I love Arizona.
We need to have fans somewhere. Someone's going to listen somewhere. Can't hate on the entire country.
I know. I mean, I have a few states I really like. But I actually really like Arizona too. And I was kind of surprised when I started really following politics to see how much right-wing extremism comes out of Arizona. I really was surprised. I've been to Arizona many, many times. I enjoy it. But yeah, so that was, you know, what our Congress is basically doing right now. And in We've got in Florida. Also, why Florida? It's just, it's always Florida. A Florida mother accuses district of outing transgender child during sports investigation. A Florida mother's alleging her transgender child was outed by the local high school district following a sports investigation into the high schooler's participation on the women's volleyball team. This has to do with the Monarch story. That's right. The Monarch High School Information Technology Department employee, Jessica Norton, the student's mother, argued that the inquiry into her child's participation led to the student's outing.
Oh my God.
As transgender.
So wait a second. So the child's had transitioned before they came to the school or were passing or was like, because there's two different, you can be in the closet or you can be passing and no one's outing you. No one even suspects anything. And either way, you can be outed in those circumstances. Is this the latter? Is this where the child was actually, you know, had transitioned or was in the middle and had support or was able to do that in a way that was safe and comfortable for them? And then they were outed by that. Because like, It's terrible to out anyone either way, but I can only imagine you're a trans kid, you have support, you've transitioned, you're doing this thing, and then the school outs you to every.
Right. I think what she's really talking about, I'll read a quote from the mom here in a minute, but I think what she's really talking about is names apparently were published. She works for the school, the mother of this trans student, And I think what she's saying is that my child was publicly outed.
Yes.
And so what she says is a lot of things were taken from my family this week. Our privacy, sense of safety, and right to self-determination, Norton said in a statement made via LGBT advocacy human rights campaign. There is a long history in this country of outing people against their will. Forced outing, particularly of a child, is a direct attempt to endanger the person being outed. We kindly ask everyone to respect our family's privacy and to give our family the space we need to speak to our experience on our own terms and timeline. Multiple personnel, including the school principal and staffers at Monarch High School, have been reassigned by Broward County officials. These reassignments occurred around the same time as the investigation of the transgender student athlete on the women's volleyball team, which is a violation of state law. It could not be confirmed if the reassignments were a direct result of the investigation, but a spokesperson for the district stated that they revolved around, quote, allegations of improper student participation in sports. Norton thanked her greater community for supporting her child after the alleged incident, and she's quoted as saying, watching our community's resistance and display of love has been so joyous to our family. The light leading us through this darkness, she said. I want everyone to know that we see you. We are so grateful for you. Again, light comes up.
Well, and we're seeing that a lot in these communities when these things are coming up. We had the child that got kicked out of the lead role in the school play.
Mm-hmm.
And the community showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They did show up.
In mass. And the school was, you know, forced to give them back their spot. And you see the same thing here. And I think that's an important thing to really note. I think a lot of conservatives need to start paying attention to that. Because it highlights how it's this minority group that's managed to get itself into leadership positions that are pushing this much more than the greater public, if you will.
I think also it highlights the importance of framing these things around families and communities, because if you have a community, and this is the truth, you know, that isn't supportive, and that's how a lot of people in this country, they live, especially in rural places where they don't have supportive folks. They're going to, you know, I don't know, they're going to have to cope with this in a way without that outcrying of support. And if we understand that they're families, that these are more than just like an individual or something, it becomes easier to see them as human. It's easier to see it as like a vacuum. It's not some, you know, salacious story. This is someone that's in my community and there's a family, there's brothers, there's sisters, there's businesses, there's jobs, I think those types of conversations, like what are we really trying to do? Are we trying to do good? Are we trying to do bad? And it's clearly bad. Why are you harming these poor kids, not letting them perform, not letting them participate? I mean, my goodness, if you can even get a kid to go outside and, you know, be interested in history, be interested in plays and art, like, you're doing your job right, and here you're trying to take that away.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you look at it, I've heard way more stories of women athletes having no problem with trans women being athletes. I've heard way more stories of teammates of trans athletes supporting mm-hmm. their teammates' participation, being upset that people would try and take that away from them than I do of the "I got beat and so I'm mad" mm-hmm. or, you know, "I could have," you know, and it really is just not being able to take accountability of those mm-hmm. people for their own lives yeah. and their own right. actions. You know, "I couldn't be as great as I wanted to be, and that's their fault."
That's correct. 100% about accountability.
And that's the only, you know, and there's really, you think about that, like, how many of those stories that they bring up that Congress met about, mm-hmm. right? What is that great action based on? A couple runners in Connecticut 4 years ago?
A few dozen kids across
hundreds and thousands of competitions and young athletes.
Yeah, like West Virginia was passing laws and they didn't even have a trans athlete in the state.
Yeah, West Virginia passing laws, they don't even have a trans athlete in the state. How many young girls got hurt playing sports with other girls? And why didn't I hear about every single one of those on the news?
They're ruthless. But I had knee surgery at 14 because of youth athletes.
But one girl gets hurt playing volleyball with another trans girl, and everybody in the whole world knows that happened.
Yeah.
Well, I think this comes down also to the monsterization of trans people
yeah.
and trans yeah. youth. Mm-hmm. And I use the word monsterization because mm-hmm. this is something that's weaponized heavily against trans women, especially. This is something that, whether you are dealing with, you know, strangers, you're dealing with family members, the presumption that we are lying, that we are somehow faking, is always there, and it's scary.
So you can see some stuff in a locker room? Like, that's the thing, is they do that, and it's like, you can see that on your phone.
I'm not interested.
You're
in
not
you.
Interested.
Karen, please step away.
Thank you.
But even if I was interested in you, we could have an adult conversation because right. we're adults. If we're talking about children in this context, it's like, you have to let them have their innocence. And the real issue mm-hmm. should be more about, like, their health and wellness, and that doesn't have to do with their gender.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm getting off track.
No, I get that. Let's get into something, you know, really the hypocrisy, though. The Tampa Bay Times came out with an article. This was published yesterday. The news broke on this about, I think, 5 or 6 days ago. And this is where – I love this line. This is where sex canoodles with politics and, more pointedly, hypocrisy. When you learned holier than thou – Florida Republican Party Chairman Christian Ziegler, which, by the way, I did not know that the husband was the Republican chair for the Republican Party. The state Republican Party chair is the husband. And his sanctimonious wife, Sarasota elected school board member Bridget Ziegler, and yet unnamed other woman had engaged in thruppelism. Your first reaction was somewhere along the lines of, "Oh, now we're doomed." Yeah, so? Or duh. Well, I mean, I'm going to go with duh. But by now, we have all pretty well figured out the greater than the Bible thumping in the hands of a poll, the greater the likelihood we're merely one grope away from a Jerry Springer show moment. In time, we'll find out if Chairman Ziegler did indeed sexually assault the unnamed woman, because what is happening is this woman came out and said that they had been in a long-standing sexual relationship with a woman, this couple, the Zieglers, and at one, she has now come forward to say that there's a criminal investigation to say, because she says that she was raped by him and the wife was not present. So is my understanding they were having a – they were doing a throuple situation for a long time, and clearly there was some sort of interaction between him and the third.
So what happened? I was reading in the article.
Okay.
According to the allegation.
Okay.
Right, was that he had reached they had had a – I guess they'd had an appointment, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And – the wife wasn't going to be able to show up. And so when he texts that
mm-hmm.
to their menage a trois mm-hmm. partner, she said, well, then I don't want to go because I'm really only in it for her.
Mm.
And then later after that, he showed up at her home.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Mm-hmm.
Forced his way in.
Of course he did, because there's no respect for the fact that she did not give consent, because the way he looks at it is, you've been participating in this the way this is, and I want this, and so I'm going to get what I want.
Yeah, and how many to me, it blows my mind that so many men especially think that way, right? Like, if mm-hmm. you let me into your house one time, that means I automatically just get to walk in and open the door and be there whenever I want.
Is that mm-hmm. like, isn't that the rule with vampires? Or mm-hmm. you have to invite them in?
Sorry. Yeah, but you should have to invite them in every time.
That is correct.
Honestly, there's no excuse for raping under any circumstance nope. whatsoever. But the entitlements of cis men over other people's bodies. Like, they're so entitled over bodies, women's bodies, trans women bodies, trans men's bodies. Like, mm-hmm. they don't even want – they want to control our dress. They want to control mm-hmm. you dress. They want to control mm-hmm. where we can be, if we can have – when we should or shouldn't have families, how they should. Mm-hmm. It's very strange because it really does seem like control.
Mm-hmm. It really is control. Well, it is control. It is control. I mean, he did not have control over the situation because she said no, because I'm only into it for your wife. Which, what did I say earlier when we were talking about this off air? Which is the hypocrisy. Your wife, an elected school board member who is also a co-founder of Moms for Liberty.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The people who are pushing the anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ, quote, agenda in schools, they're the ones that are fast-tracking this, the book banning. I mean, these women, I call them QAMOMs, they single-handedly, since COVID, they came out, I think, with COVID, mm-hmm. because of COVID, and they have single-handedly turned school board meetings into freaking circus acts.
Sexual liberty for me and not for thee.
Exactly. And the hypocrisy, because I'm sorry, but here's the deal. I do not kink shame. Do whatever you do as long as you are not harming yourself or others. It's the hypocrisy for me. If you are in a throuple and it's two men and a woman, the men are bisexual. If you're in a throuple and it's two women and a man, the two women are bisexual. This cognitive dissonance that these people have with regard to this particular issue is... it is baffling. It's like I don't even have words for it, because you are standing up and bringing attention to yourself and being some of the most vile, hateful people at school board meetings, to children, to librarians, to parents. And then you're going out on a Friday night, calling up your third, right? And then doesn't matter, because we're not going to talk about it on Saturday morning.
Sounds like a lot of self-hate being projected out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's often so, transphobia is. I mean, why do you think someone gets so angry when they look at my ass? They're like, hey, wait a second. Is that a trans woman? Like, because then they wonder about their own sexuality. Well, I mean, they're so uncomfortable with their own being, so their own love, yeah, their own houses that they have to take it out on other folks.
Well, it very much is, right? Because think about how many different ways we are trained and educated in suppressing and hating ourselves. In just so many ways. That's for boys. Boys don't cry. Only girls play with that. And especially when you start bringing in certain religious aspects of that, right? Like, mm-hmm. you were born wrong. Mm-hmm. Only God's grace is the only reason you could be loved, not because you're worthy of being loved, not because there's something great about you, but because somebody's got to love you anyway. And you must be saved. You know, when you're taught to always suppress yourself, to always feel like you have to be degrading yourself, disliking yourself, hating yourself. Everything about your life is about getting rid of who you are so that somebody will love you. Then to see that, right? See somebody else doing that. See somebody else loving themselves as they are, not feeling the need to sacrifice everything and completely subject themselves in order to be told they are worthy in any way by anybody in their lives. That's wrong. How can you do that? And I have to spend my whole life hating myself and be told that I will never make it to heaven. I will never be worth anything unless I spend my whole life hating myself. We've been taught in so many ways that it is right and good and just and moral to hate ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And it's so heavily internalized.
Oh, absolutely.
We externalize it. And then it's weird because we have such hate for ourselves, we justify an escalation of violence and hatred upon others. Mm-hmm. Because this it begins with that self-hatred, and then that's not enough. You can't just take that level of intensity of hatred that you have for yourself and put it – it has to be – for some reason, it just constantly comes out worse. Because it's not just that they hate me. It's that they don't want me in public places. They don't want me in eyeshot of children. They don't want me to have a family. They don't want me to have health care. They want me locked in a men's prison where I'll be forced for 23 hours a day to stay in solitary confinement or be raped every day of my life or killed or in the closet. That's what they want. And that – can only be born from hatred. Mm-hmm. That can only be called genocide. And there will be reckoning within themselves, not necessarily in an afterlife, but in this life, because you can't run from that. No matter, even if you got every single thing you wanted, you burned every book, you got every single trans person locked up or back in the closet, that hate still is there in your heart, and it'll still eat
away
from you.
They'll just find something else to hate.
They'll just find something else. They'll find another reason to another place to project that fear. That's really a fear of themselves, a fear of facing themselves, a fear of, and that's really so much of it, right? And I know I've certainly experienced this as a man, the whole nurturing side that I'm not supposed to have.
Oh, showing your emotions.
The softer side that I'm not supposed to have. The lack of desire to hurt somebody that I'm supposed to have, right? This aggressiveness, this philosophy that I'm supposed to be able to solve problems with strength and not intellect, with force and not subtlety and you know, and I've seen it in my life, right? I've seen how it has prevented me from solving problems I could have solved. I could see where it stopped me from accomplishing goals that I could have accomplished because I wouldn't let myself be anything other than this strong, aggressive man that had to be angry at himself anytime he wasn't strong and aggressive. Never could let somebody close to me. Right? Mm. Right? Because that's vulnerability. Mm. That's a weakness that I would need you close to me, that I would share my emotions, that I would need that I would need, period. Mm-hmm. Right? And to live your life, all of it, in that circle of toxicity.
Darkness.
And darkness. Mm-hmm. And really, you're attacking yourself so much, and every aspect of your being that doesn't identify that, you're attacking that. And your friends are attacking that. I mean, how many times in my life have I heard, don't be a bitch? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's gay, dude. Mm-hmm. All of those things. And so for those of us that have not had the opportunity, the experiences, the dedication, the wherewithal to confront that, to fight against that instead of ourselves, and then begin to experience those goals being achieved because I could not be aggressive in this situation. Experience things like comfort. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. To be able to experience comfort.
Yep.
When you are supposed to only be the warrior, when you are supposed to only be the unassailable strength without feeling, without nurturing, without softness, without vulnerability, you are never able to allow yourself to be comforted. And so you just live always with your fears and denying them and pushing down. You live always with your pain and your hurt and denying it and pretending like it's not there and it doesn't eat at you. And then denying the weakness that eating at you creates. That's not there. That's not more pain. I'm not suffering. My wounds aren't infected. I'm just fine, to the point where you can't be touched because it hurts.
Well.
And it's to overcome that is so amazing, but to know, to experience that myself, to see it in other men, to know that we're taught throughout our whole lives to hate ourselves and then to project that hate on anything that represents or teaches us to begin to grow and explore and be the rest of who we could be, to stop denying all aspects of our being.
The holistic aspects.
The holistic aspects. Well, just the whole of ourselves.
Exactly.
We deny whole parts of who we are and how we work and what we need and what we can do to fit in.
Maybe you're talking to a trans woman who didn't transition until she was in her 30s.
I
had whole parts of myself I cut off and put at the bottom of an ocean and put a 2-ton boulder on the top of and then in chains over top of. And then I dealt with that bleeding, like infesting wound and that ugliness that sprouted from it and then having to contend with it within myself and in my life. And that was one of the hardest things to do, is to accept who I was. And that challenge, to challenge that ugliness, that darkness inside ourselves. Some of it comes from ourselves. Some of it comes from, and this is a great nature nurture debate, which I don't want to get into too much, but it comes from experiences and pain, traumas, losses, lacks. And then that's the whole part of life. If you're not growing, if you aren't challenging these things and you aren't learning, then what are you doing other than just showing up at church, or you're showing up at school, you're punching your card at work? Because isn't that the purpose?
Well, and learning how to finally reject the crowds that will cheer at your self-destruction. Mm-hmm. Right? The gladiator mentality of going out there and destroying others and destroying yourself for the cheers of the masses. That's really one of the final obstacles that most men never get over, is the fact that when we are aggressive, when we do project the hate for ourselves onto others. We are cheered for it as warriors, and
it creates trauma.
And it creates trauma. It creates a huge conflict within each of us,
especially mm-hmm. for cis men and for trans women who were forced or didn't come out and transition later in life. This experience of masculinization, this sort of, one of the things that was really highlighted for me is like the ability to enable myself to give people compliments, to take compliments, because it's something that I was taught that wasn't for me. You know, you don't compliment my hair. You don't compliment skin. There are no kindnesses. There's no little thing. And that's hard. And that's one of the things that was actually hardest for me to get over in my early social transition was this idea that, like, it's actually okay. And that and some of this is born out of a legitimate social landscape that's like being shaped by cis men and rape culture. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is not something that I'm, you know, trying to put as like an objective thing. It's something we could move past if society was able to, if men collectively were not coddled in the way that they are.
Right.
But I think it's funny because in the same breath, we can acknowledge that men are coddled in this way. They're also completely devoid of that light. Well, not completely devoid, but shunted, kept away from the tiniest little bits, if you get that at all, of this nurturing. And I don't want to even put a femme energy or femininity to it, because I feel like gendering these things is wrong. But I do think mm-hmm. that there are, like you said, there are aspects that are the whole that we're forced to cut out of ourselves. And that's the wonderful thing about being trans. We can sit here and talk about like, oh, the hardships and the pain. But when we talk about actually going through transition, it really is a process, not so much about, okay, I'm going to look this way or whatever. And there's a lot of that, especially when you're younger, you know, especially when you're trying to hit certain standards or you have an image of yourself in your mind. But then it's also about that moving past that, because transition doesn't stop.
You know? Well, yeah. And that's one of the things too, that I try and really, you know, I try to really drive home to my kids. I drive it home to myself quite frequently. And that is more than anything, being myself out rather than defining myself. Mm-hmm. Because the definition is just they help you communicate with others how you want to be interacted with. Mm-hmm. But really to release those limitations, and just really be who I am and allow myself to become who I'm going to be, and not putting all of that on me. Honestly, in my mind, for me, I don't want you to treat me like a man. I don't want you to treat me like a woman. I don't want you to treat me like I'm white. Yeah. I want you to treat me like me.
Yeah.
I want you to look at me, and I want you to see me and my actions. And who I am.
Okay, I want you to treat me like a woman. I just want to just be clear. I'm all for that. I'm
yeah, but
the energy and vibe and
I just, know, but I
need to break the tension.
So. No, but absolutely. But that's that whole aspect. And I'm going to communicate with you how I want to be treated.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you. Oh no, I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know what? That's cool. And just having that authentic, honest interaction with everybody, not going into it with, oh, I'm going to treat you like this because this is what I've learned about people that I look like that. Mm-hmm. No, going in and treating everybody with a baseline level of kindness and then listening and interacting and communicating with them and tailoring my actions as I begin to know that person more deeply according to what they want, how they like to be interacted with, and how I like to be interacted with, and growing off of that, growing with each other as we do that, all interactions, that's where we should be approaching our interactions with everybody.
Mm-hmm. You know, this conversation makes me think about all the times, especially before I came out and transitioned, that I would think a kind thought about someone and not say it out loud.
Yeah.
And I wonder to myself, you know, it's this isn't even a gendered thing, but it's something that I've enabled myself to do as I've tried mm-hmm. to embrace my light, which again is not as trans people, something that we do because we're motivated a lot of times by dysphoria, euphoria because of eating things, but we're all going for that, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's who I want to be. That's who we all want to be, I think. So,
I mean, I throw compliments. I mean, I make it a point if I'm somewhere and I see a woman, notice I say woman, mm-hmm. right? Because
complimenting a man is dangerous.
Because I don't compliment a man because I don't feel safe, right? And so, but women, I mean, even just women complimenting each other, right? I will, you know, walk by someone and say, I love that dress. Yes. You look great today. Or I love your hair. I compliment Black women's hair often, natural hair, like wearing, because I just, for me, I want people to know that other people see them.
Yes.
And how difficult is it to walk by someone and I walk by people every day, all the time, but sometimes I walk by somebody and there's likely a light that is emanating off of them, not visual.
No.
I can feel that in my soul. And I'm prompted to say, you look beautiful today. I can't say that to a man because I don't feel safe. A man saying that to a man is not safe.
And you see, this is how darkness spreads.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's this light that's trying to get out from us. It's almost like light's trying to meet itself. Light mm-hmm. flows to spread like fire. You know, we want to have a better, so we want goodness to, I believe that.
Yeah.
But then it's like the fear because of so many different things, because of oftentimes heterosexist patriarchal systems of domination that make us afraid for our well-beings, for our bodies, for our families. Those things are the things that keep us from actually embracing within ourselves, as Cody is saying, whether we're talking about whether we're embracing a stranger on the street, and then also, you know, the lack of access and understanding of like sexual health and like mm-hmm. mores and things, and then also just the terrible laws.
I mean, the way
that it's just like rape is not, but like, how can you go to jail for 25 years for having possession of some flowers, but you can go to jail like you don't even like 6 months, a year slap on the wrist for raping a human being? It seems crazy to me.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to have to put this out there. Sure. In 2020 in Virginia, mm-hmm. you know, we had to write a law that said that if you are in law enforcement and someone is in your custody, you can't have sex with them. That was in 2020. Why do we need a law that says that if you are in police custody, that it is illegal for you to have sexual contact with this person?
Well, was the law so much dealing with rape, or was it dealing with like
both.
People who were trying to
it's not consensual the... it's well, not it consensual, consensual regardless I agree. It's not consensual regardless, so
but
it is
the one circumstance where it could even make any little tiny bit of sense to me is like if you were arrested and you were trying to get off of the circumstances, but like should be go without say. You shouldn't have to write that down. Like if you're a police officer and like oh yeah baby blah 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 and you let someone off, like you should not be a police officer,
right? 100%
you should be
right, exactly. And even, I mean, even if the person made the offer to get off of the ticket, I mean,
it's still rape.
Yeah. I mean, don't even get me started about the just the way our laws are written and why, you know, incidental traffic stops and that, you know, people may be offering blowjobs because you caught me, you know, slow rolling through a fucking stop sign. Okay. The desperation that people have because of economic, you know, they can't even afford to pay for this ticket, much less, you know, the circumstances. But anyways, I mean, I can get the systems of domination. Right. And so, you know, when it was 2020, y'all. 2020, we had to write a law about this. So the denial that we have issues in this, you know, patriarchal, all of the things that you say so eloquently that I don't, but our heterosexual patriarchal system, yes. This is not going to be a battle. I think we're on a more rapid pace than we've ever been to calling this out, calling attention to it, and making changes. We are doing that at a much more rapid pace than we have historically with, you know what I mean, with in the past. And I think that's the advent of social media and the, you know, the internet and things like that. But we have a long road.
As things advance, you know, and become more, they gain more momentum, they gain acceleration, and
they eventually gain acceptance.
Yeah.
And that's the goal.
And that goes, you know, over and over. But you're right. There are, you know, and that's really the problem in a lot of ways is looking at, things from the right lens, you know, like when we were talking before about, you know, using words the right way so that it actually conveys the correct meaning. Looking at different things, like, you know, on the topic of police, we were mentioning, you know, the concept of policing a community versus policing in a war zone, which is often the word that it's that police use referring to certain communities. They've been trained to work in a war zone.
Not it's that they even zone. Respect the rules of engagement as the U.S. military respects in the United States. It's I'm sorry. I go on.
I know. We
all
totally
of this stuff,
could,
though, is really because they don't want to audit the Department of Defense. Let's be honest.
I know,
at the federal level, every single Republican who has ever said anything about trans women is because they're just like, please do not look at us when we say we're fiscally responsible 100%. And somehow we can audit the DOD because the past 14, 15 years. What is
and really on the subject of domination, and, you know, it really is across all of these levels so much this real concept of sexual domination. I mean, that's why,
because we're such a repressed society. Especially America,
we are. And it's why, you know, the conservative side is so much about, oh, you're sexualizing our kids. No, you're sexualizing
the
whole concept.
That's true.
And that's based on these things, like one of the big reasons why it's so unsafe for you to just compliment a man that you don't know walking through a store is because so many men are trained and believe that if you talk to me, you must be attracted to me.
That is correct.
Well, you must want to have sex right now.
That's
right. Because you talked to me and you said something nice about me.
Mm-hmm. And the worst part is these incels, as they get trapped inside, they get trapped in these little loops. And I don't mean to use the word incel lightly, but these folks who are, you know, hating themselves, they start blaming women. They start blaming liberal social society.
Well, I mean,
rather than blaming the heterosexist patriarchy that put them in a situation where they never even get acknowledged as having any beautiful parts of themselves, rather than attacking the root cause that actually causes that isolation, the emotional distress, rather than stepping up and saying, let's attack that rape culture. Let's do something so that our sisters feel safe. They double down.
Blaming others is built in to the description, right? Involuntarily celibate. That's what incel's short for.
Involuntarily celibate, yep.
And so blaming others is built into it. I'm celibate because of you. Not anything to do with my actions, not anything to do with my interactions with people. I'm celibate because you won't have sex with me. And that's why I'm celibate. And I mean, that's whole philosophy right there.
It really is.
That's the philosophy that leads to a congressman going into his thruples but then raping. Like, there's a sort of like entitlement that comes down. And it's, when we talk about all of these issues, you really want to talk about what's important. Let's talk about beauty. Let's talk about mental health. And let's talk about thriving. And then if we have to talk about negativity. Let's talk about that negativity,
right?
Because that's the negativity that's tearing apart communities, that's leading these schools and kids, girls, boys, trans, whatever. They are terrified because there are these folks, young men, who are being indoctrinated, a whole new generation, and they are not willing to actually do the hard work.
Well, and they're being shuttered like you would a horse that you want to just pull the cart and not be scared by what they're walking through.
That's
really, you know, when we talk about the concept of beauty, all right, you have, you know, there's all sorts of layers to beauty. But one thing, and I've told myself this, I've seen it, and it's something that I repeat to myself just because everybody also, you know, you have ugly too, right? You have, and it's all objective. You know, it's all what I think is beautiful. I mean, my favorite color is pink. Somebody else's favorite color is blue. I'm going to, you know, like something that's pink. I'm going to think that looks better than, and we're going to disagree about that. And that's
art and beauty is subjective. Absolutely.
Art and beauty and subjective. And that's something we miss a lot when we interact and look at other people, is the ugliest person I've ever seen in my life To somebody, that is the most beautiful person they have ever seen in their life. And acknowledging that just because I'm not seeing it right this second isn't because it's not there. It's because I'm not seeing it. I'm not looking for it. It is not. The beauty is always there. My ability to see it is what is missing. And that could be flavored by all sorts of other things, right? The angle that you look at it from sometimes. And the way things are communicated to you. You know, one person is a worst person in the world, criminal, evil person to somebody else, and a hero to that person that they're always nice to. Sure. There's all sorts of things that play into that, but just understanding that not seeing somebody's beauty isn't about that person not being beautiful. It's about a blindness that you have in your life. And our men in our society are continuously bombarded and blinded purposefully to other people's beauty. And I think it very much is to create it to separate ourselves, to make it easier for us to perpetuate that cycle of dominance, even at our level where we have no, you know, down at the base level, somebody like me, I have no power really. On a greater level, but I do in the respect that society has built a way. But the real power is the power that I generate upward by creating small actions of dominance that support larger actions of dominance that support societal actions of dominance over whole groups of people. Mm-hmm. And men are, and that cycle comes back down too. Mm-hmm. We're taught to do that so that we support that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, keep ourselves powerless.
I mean, our society was built.
Yeah. At the same time, I destroy my own strength by submitting to my training to destroy yours.
Mm-hmm. Because that's kind of the root of all the conservative movement right now. The whole American conservative project, that you can even say, is trying to dismantle the power and the community and any sort of positivity that can come out of working together.
It's dismantling autonomy. Yeah.
Autonomy, it's privatization of everything.
Yeah, it really is about autonomy. Like, they want everyone to fit a specific mold. And I know that we have been on here for quite a while.
Well, and creating that sameness while maintaining the separateness, right?
Right.
Everybody stay in that specific mold, but also act in a way that isolates you and keeps you the same.
Correct.
Because that's part of it too. Like if I'm going through a store, sure, I can compliment a man specifically. Mm-hmm. I like your hat. That's a great shirt.
Yep.
Really like what you did with your beard.
Like your eyes, Cody. Yeah. What would happen if you were like, hey, bro, really like the color of your eyes?
Oh, it would make somebody uncomfortable.
Yeah. But how is it so hard to understand the difference between, Cody, I really like the color of your eyes versus Cody, those eyes?
Uh-huh. Well, and
there's a way to give a compliment that you know it's what it is versus just being kind.
And,
right,
that's part of it too, is you're not just separating, you know, men from that interaction of building each other up, right? But I'm also now separated from building relationships with women in my community, mm-hmm. right? Because it's inappropriate for me to interact mm-hmm. with a woman outside of my wife because mm-hmm. it must be sexual, right? If I walk through a store, I have to be very careful with how I compliment a woman as well. Mm-hmm. Because if I compliment a woman, I must be hitting on them.
Or you're a creep.
Or I'm a creep. Or it's inappropriate. And so we by sexualizing every interaction, we create this barrier that prevents us from building meaningful relationships with each other.
Correct.
And paradoxically, those meaningful relationships oftentimes lead to the most fulfilling and sustained sexual relationships, because you get to know people, because you're open. And it's not always, not a guarantee. No, of course. But when we talk, go back to the discussion about incel, it's such a silly term. But it's, you know, the idea that they're hurting themselves, because I would much rather see these men grow up, you know, be a part of the community, get into things that they're interested in, contribute, and, you know, find ways to have families and community, whatever their dreams are, because that's what's going to help me rise when they're shining, our whole community shines. It really should.
But the problem with incels, the problem with incels are that, like, anybody who's involuntary celibate, if they consider themselves to be involuntarily celibate, right? The problem is that the common denominator there is misogyny.
Yes.
They have been raised and programmed to not respect women, and then they're clueless, or, you know, avail to be clueless when they actually can't build meaningful relationships with you know, the opposite sex, if that's what it is.
Well, let's be real. A big part of why they can't build those meaningful relationships, and I mean, a big part, really, probably a big part of a lot of the problems in their life, is they've distilled everything, all of their value, their interactions socially, all distilled down to the one aspect of whether or not they're having physical sex with somebody.
Right.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, sex is great.
Sex is great.
I could take it or leave it.
You know,
there are some people
that could take it or leave it. And you know,
probably leave it.
Yeah.
You know, and
I love sex. Like, yeah. I mean, for me, like, but listen. But I respect the fact that not everybody does.
It's good times.
Yeah.
Yet, it is still really just a small aspect of all sorts of things going on in our lives. And for some people, it's a very small, non-relevant aspect.
And sometimes it waxes and wanes, right? Like, sometimes sex is, you know, it's like...
Sometimes it waxes and wanes and all of that sort of, you know, but really focusing so much on just that one act. Of all of the actions that you're going to take in your life and throughout your day, putting so much value on that one act causes us in such huge ways to devalue and really make so much more shallow the rest of all of our relationships.
I could not agree more.
Mm-hmm. I could not agree more. And on that note, I think that would be a great way to end this podcast. We've talked about a whole lot of things tonight, and I think it was all really, really wonderful. Thank you, Thea. Thank you, Cody.
Thank you, Melissa. Thanks.
Thank you both.
Yay!
And thank our audience.
And the audience.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. And until next time.
Trans joy defeats hate, y'all.
That's right.
Thank you for listening to Talking Transparency. Our theme music is by SKS. If you enjoyed the show, please check us out on all the socials at Talking Transparency, or check out our link tree at Talking Trans. Visit our website at talkingtransparency.com, and please consider supporting us at patreon.com/talkingtransparency.